Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 145, verse 18. That's Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call him, to all who call upon him in truth. Amen.
Will you say amen?
Amen.
The light of the world is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know what? I am very, very happy to be here today. And when I say that, I really mean it. I am happy to be here today. It's good to be in the house of God. We are friends and brothers, sister. It's good to be here. You know, when you think about what's going on in Nepal, I will say it again. I'm going to say this again. It's good to be here.
Amen.
When I think about what's going on there, yes. About more of 6,000 people die. And they say that there's no point for them to keep searching. There's no hope. So I need to say today that I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
When I'm thinking what's going on in Baltimore?
Yes.
It's crazy out there.
Yes.
So I need to say this morning that I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
See, I have a reason to be here today. I do have a reason to worship God today.
Yes.
God is good with me. No, if you have a reason to be here and feel joy, you need to say amen.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. God is good. And it's good to be in his presence today. I want to say that, you know, there's some friends, there's some family who are leaving our church soon. And I say family members. You know, even though they're going to be away, they're always going to be in our hearts and our mind and in our prayers. So Pam, Maddie, we're going to be praying for you. Marina, Ben, I want you to know that the church is going to keep praying for you and for Ben. Anissa, we're going to keep praying for you. And we're going to keep praying for each other. Because that's what family do. We hold on. And we keep praying for each other. Speaking about family, if you notice today, my children are quiet. Why you laugh? Yes, they're quiet today. We are fighting a cold in our house. So first was my wife, and then I think it was me, and I think it's still me, but now it's my children who has the cold. But I'm glad to be here today. I was trying to say hi to Elder Simmons. I was trying to shake his hand. He said, "No, don't touch me." I was like, "Oh, okay, did I have something wrong with me?" He's like, "No, I have cold." I was like, "Okay, I understand. We are in the same process. So if I don't shake your hands at the end, it's because I'm still fighting with this, okay?" But I'm glad to be here today. I'm just happy to be with my brothers and sisters. We are talking about prayer during this year. And this is going to be my topic, my theme every time that I come and speak to you about prayer. I mean, we know that prayer is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It is a privilege, actually, to pray. Just when we think about that God opened his door, it's like God has opened his door, his room for us, and we can come to him and pray. And see, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, I used to like go to my mother's room. You know, it was such a blessing just to be with her and my dad. And I think about this: God opened his door and his room for us, and we can come and talk to him. It is a blessing. That's what prayer is, that we can come and talk to our Father in his room. It is a blessing. God has promised that he's going to hear us. He's going to hear our prayers. He said that when we call him, he's going to answer. There are many privileges and promises associated with prayer. But today I want to look at this passage, text in the Bible, in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 17. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 17. But before we read that, let me just say one more thing. We all have experienced the power of prayer, private prayer. We have experienced those times when we call on the Lord in secret place, and we know that he hears us. He answers with power and glory. There is something special that happens when we pray. There is something that we should do. I say that there is something that we should do. Prayer is something that we should do. I mean, you say, Pastor, I get it. That's what we do as a Christian. That's as a church. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray. But no, really, I mean that we're supposed to pray. I mean real prayer. With purpose, right? Meaningful prayer. Praying heart. That's what we need to do. I mean, let me ask you something. When you wake up in the morning, did you ask yourself, okay, it is time for breathe? Do you say that to yourself? Do you talk to your brain and say, okay, brain, it's good time for us to think about what's going on today? Do you do that? Do you ask yourself to breathe? No, how that happen? If something happens, it's natural, right? It's the same thing should be with prayer. When it comes to prayer, it's supposed to be something natural. We don't need to ask ourselves, okay, it is a good time for me to pray right now or not. We just do it. It's what we do. There's power in prayer, and it should come natural when we pray. So I want to look this passage today in the book of Acts, and I want to present to you a few points that we find in this chapter. As I preach to you on the topic, when God's people pray. My topic for today, when God's people pray. But I would like to add something else to this title. When God's people pray, something happens. Okay, let me say that again. Because I want you to turn to somebody and say, when God's people pray, something happens. When you say that to somebody, when God's people pray, something happens. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Please look, I want to ask my brother Joseph to read for me chapter 12 of the book of Acts, verse 1 through 17. Go ahead, brother.
Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie out your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know, certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, You are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, It is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place.
Amen. Thank you. Very interesting story. Actually, if you read it carefully, it is kind of funny. But we get into that later. Prayer changes things. We know that. Prayer changes people. Yes, we know that. But today, we're going to see that change. Prayer changes churches. I said that prayer changes churches. And this is really happening when we pray. When you look at this chapter 12 of Acts, we notice something important here. Let me just tell you that the church was facing terrible persecution because of their faith. This man called Herod was killing apostles and seeking to kill more apostles. So we see that the church came together at this time of terrible time and an emergency. There was a time of need and emergency. So the church came together. See, they were persecuting. They were killing the apostles. They were trying to put down the church of God. So the church members decided, well, it is time for us then to do something about it. So what they did, they went down to downtown and started protesting. That's what they did? No. They started to pray. They didn't start writing letters to the officials. What's going on with us? This is not right. We have to make our voice heard. We got to do something about it. So let's go to downtown. Let's burn some buildings. Let's chase down the police. Let's do something about this. Because our people are being killed. We got to do something. Oh, they went down to pray. See, when we are facing difficult situations in the life, there is something that we must do. Before you call the doctor, before you call your pastor, before you call anyone, you should call our Father and our friend Jesus. Go and talk to him in prayer. That's what I do. When I see something's going on, I talk to him first, and then I talk to others. So they start praying. When you read the book of verse 12, the chapter 12, you see that they were gathering praying. They were praying for Peter. They were praying for their brother. Interesting that they were not praying for themselves. They were praying for somebody else. Let's pray for somebody else when there is need. But let's pray with faith that something's going to happen. See, my topic for today, that when God's people pray, something happens. Amen? So there were many gathering praying. So the Bible mentioned, when you read this chapter 12, the first thing that we mention here is that there was a king named, what's his name?
Herod.
What do we know about this guy? What do we know about this guy? Well, you know, when you search in the Bible, there are about four Herods mentioned in the Bible. The first one was the one who was known as Herod the Great. He killed actually a lot of the babies in Bethlehem, trying to kill Jesus too. This guy was so bad that he also killed many of his own family. That was the first Herod, Herod the Great. Then we have the second Herod, Herod Antipas. He was the one who ordained John to be beheaded. You remember that? So there was this other herald. There's a third herald. Herald Philip II. Philip. Well, we have one Philip here, but that's not how to do it. So herald Philip II. This one was murdered by his own father, because the father feared that he would take his throne from him. But before he was killed, Herod Philip II had a son, which is this one Herod that we are talking about. And that this one Herod is known as Herod as Agrippa. Interesting stuff. Now, this Herod was a really interesting guy. He was trying to be popular with the Jews. He wanted to be, you know, he wanted to have a lot of followers. You know how politicians do, you know. They please their people, right? They give them what they want. So this was Herod. He was trying to please everyone, the Jews. And there was a fight between Jews and the leaders of the early church. So Herod was like, well, I have to do something with this church, because I have to please the Jews. I have to please my people. I need to get more votes. See, election is coming soon, and I got to do something about it. So I gotta please the leaders, the Jewish leaders. Then he started chasing down the leaders of the church. When you read chapter 12 of Acts, the first leader who got killed was who? James. By the sword. Now it was Peter's turn. I mean, think about this. The church is growing. People are getting baptized. People are finally getting to know who God is and what God does. And now the leaders of the church have been killed, persecuted, and put to jail. It was a difficult time for the church. Pressure time for the church. They didn't know what to do. The leaders are being killed. What are we going to do? See, when I think about this, this is exactly what Satan does when it comes to leadership in church. He always trying to chase down and attack the leaders of the church. Yes, when Satan sees there's fighting amongst the leaders of the church, he's happy. When they see there's tension with the leaders, when they see that the leaders of the church can look eye to eye, they don't like to talk to each other. There's something going on in the leadership of the church. Satan is just happy and joyful because he knows that is less work for him. I don't need to worry about them because they're already fighting each other. So let me just watch what's going on. That's why we need to come together as one and pray and have communion to each other, because we need to face our enemy. See, the leaders was going down. Leaders were persecuted. Now, when you think about this, Peter, he was in jail. We mentioned that he was in jail. He was guarded, very heavy guard, by these Roman soldiers. They were called a squad. There were four squads assigned to guard Peter. Four squads. Now explain something, Joseph. Four squad means there are four soldiers in each squad, right? There's about that, right? So if there's four squad guarding Peter, there will be about 16 soldiers, right? Who do duties. They rotate their duties. They're soldiers in the morning, and then they rotate 3 hours, and then come back four more, and then come back four more. So there was 16 soldiers watching this old fisherman called Peter. What's going on? Why was this necessary? I mean, he was just one guy. He was probably old. So why was Herod trying to do all this using 16 guards? Well, if you recall, in Acts chapter 5, something happened. See, the apostles were preaching. They were preaching the gospel right there in the front of the temple's courts. And the high priest got upset, real upset, and he put them to jail. But then the Bible said that the angel of God came, and he opens the door, and he sent them free. Now, The high priest probably knew that Peter was in jail by Herod. So the high priest said, well, it's a good thing, Herod, that you have Peter in jail. But you know what? Let me tell you something about this guy. See, a few chapters before this one, this guy was in jail. And the angel of God came and gave him freedom. So you must be careful with this guy. You use whatever it takes to keep him down. So if you only have 4, you better have 16. See, in those times, the custom was that the soldiers supposed to be in chains with just one hand, one arm, the left hand. But when you read the story, Peter was guarded by both hands. There was 2 soldiers with chains next to him. Now, what's going on? I'm telling you, there is power when the church pray. There is power in the church pray. Now, when you keep reading this chapter 12, the Bible says that it was almost time to Peter go to trial. It was almost time for Peter to get a sentence, though. And the sentence, we all know what's going to happen. Well, Peter, you're going to die. It was about that time. So we can see in Peter's situation that it was a dead-end situation. There's no way to escape. There's no exit sign that I can find. See, everything is dark right now. There's no way for me to find an exit sign. What can I do? Everything is lost. This is a dead end situation. Have you faced those lately? When you think that everything's going to be over? Dead end situations. But let me tell you something that the church was praying. There was people praying in church for Peter. This was a dead end situation, but there were people praying for Peter. It's interesting when church pray. Let me share something with you. There's a story who said that there was this old lady, really old lady, who was praying. She started praying, Father, you know, I don't have anything to eat. There's no food left. I don't know what to do. So I'm just praying to you, oh Lord, please provide something for me. So this old lady keep praying. So one guy heard this prayer. He was not from church. He didn't believe in God. So he said, you know what? She's asking God for help. I'm going to help her. The guy didn't believe in God at all. So he went, got it shopping, everything, food, bananas. We had to keep it real, right? Bananas, fruits, oranges. Yes. Vegetables, everything was nice. And she was like, praise the Lord, thank you, God, you hear my prayer. She was so happy, but the guy was standing there looking at her like, what's going on? And the guy couldn't take anymore. Then he said, no, that was not God. That was Satan who sent you that. And she was like, praise the Lord. Because when God commands something, even Satan obey. Praise the Lord. See, something happens when God's people pray. There is something that happens when God's people pray. Now, when you read verse 5, of this chapter 12. This is the center of everything. This is the most important text that we can find in this chapter 12. Let's read it together, shall we? So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was doing what? Praying. Earnestly praying to God for him. Are you getting this? Peter was in jail, but there is a but here. Peter was in jail, but the Bible said that the church was praying. You're not getting this. See, Peter was in jail. He was about to be over for him, but the church was praying. Let me just make it simple for you today. You went to the doctor, and he said that you have cancer, that everything is done for you, but the church started praying. But the church started praying. You went back to the doctor and now the cancer is gone. Will you say amen?
Amen.
See, you thought that your marriage was over. You were about to get a divorce. But the church started praying. Things started getting better. And now you have your wife or your husband back. See, you thought you were about to lose your family. Everything was bad and dark. And everything was so confused. And you thought you were going to lose all your family. But an elder in church prayed. And now you got your family back. Oh, there is power when the church pray. There is special power when we pray to our God and our Father. See, there are people who always trying to bring you past. There are people who always do that. Oh, you remember when you did that? I remember when you did that. That was bad. See, there are people who always do that to you. This is what you need to say. Yes, I know that I did something wrong in the past. But I have a church who pray for me. And I found a text that said that when I confess my sin to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgiveness all my sin and cleanse me of what? Of all my unrighteousness. I praise God today. Because we have such a wonderful God who take care of us, who can hear our prayers. See, there's something that happens when God's people pray. Great things happen when God's people pray. There is joy when God's people pray. There is freedom when God's people pray. There is hope when God's people pray. There is wisdom and guidance when God's people pray. There is protection when God's people pray. There is unity in the body of Christ when God's people pray. See, when God's people pray, problems have solutions. When God's people pray, nothing is impossible. Because we know that if God is with us, who can be against us? There is power when we pray. Now, this is interesting. If you go back to the story, the Bible said that they're praying. They're praying while the church is praying, God is acting. Yes. You didn't get that? While you pray, God is already moving. God is already about to do something. You are praying. You haven't started to pray yet. And God also ready to start moving already. Praise the Lord. Wonder what a wonderful God that I have. I need to share something with you. Because I know there is power when you pray. There is power when you pray. And I'm a witness of that. See, when we were living in Puerto Rico, me and my wife, we only have two sons at that time. I remember that day we used to go to, of course, to the college, to the church college. And there was a young lady who said once to me, "You know what, have you noticed your son, your oldest one?" You know, when people start talking about your son, it's like, what's going on here? What are you trying to say? Of course I know. I see him every day. I see my son every day. I mean, what's going on? It was like, well, I want you to pay attention to him. Because the way he behaves, you know, it's not normal. I was like, whoa, okay. So I shared with my wife. So we went to online, started doing research about our son behavior. And we noticed that a lot of things that we find online that was really applying to the situation of my son. So we start going to the doctors and trying to find different kinds of help for him. And they say, well, this is some sort of autism. My older son with autism. And I was like, man. See, that day in Puerto Rico was a bright, beautiful day. The sun was shining. The sky were blue. Everything was beautiful. But for me and my wife, everything turned dark. You know, my older son, you know, you put all your hope with the first one. I mean, it's the firstborn, right? You think that you have all these ideas and all these plans for him. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. I didn't know what to say. So I was like, okay, Michelle, my wife, let's pray. That was the first thing that I did. Let's pray. But see, I pray. This was probably one of the most difficult prayers for me, because this was my son. I mean, the pastor always pray for people, you know. Always pray for somebody else. But pray for your own son is kind of difficult to explain. But I pray. You know what, God? I said, God, you give me this son, my beautiful son. And there is a reason why. So I want to ask you, Father, not to heal him. I don't want to ask you for that. I don't want to ask you for healing. I just want to ask you for strength. Just give me the opportunity to move on, to push forward, to be an example for him, to be there for him, and to encourage my wife and my family to move forward. I didn't ask for anything else, just for his strength. Because nobody what, he's still my son. I will do whatever is necessary to keep him safe. So I pray. So from Puerto Rico, we move to Boston, and we start these programs with him. See, when he was about 2 years, 2 years and a half, he was not talking at all. Almost turning three, he was not talking. I was really scared. Never heard my son say, "Daddy, come here," when he was two and a half. Never said my son say anything like that to me. But when I moved to Boston, and I heard my son say for the first time, "Daddy," I was like, "What? Who's this talking here?" He said, "Daddy." I was like, "Okay." I just stood up like I was in shock. And he was like, "But don't stay there. Come here." I was like, "What? I cannot believe this. He is talking to me." See, before he just used to repeat whatever I say. He said, "Milk." He said, "Milk." He said this and he said that. But there was no really communication between us. But when he started talking to me, I was like, "Praise the name of God." Amen. The doctor said that they didn't know how this is going to happen. They didn't know if this situation was long, going to really long for a really long, long time. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to expect. That was the doctor say. They say that they wasn't sure when my son was going to be able to start talking. They say they were not, they didn't know. They were not sure. But you know what? I have a friend that I can talk to. I have a friend that I can pray. And when I hear my son talking to me, I was like, "Praise the name of the Lord." Amen. There is power in prayer. Amen. See, when we pray, you don't need to ask God for do something special for you. Just ask God to help you to keep forward, to give you the strength and the power and the faith to push forward. Situations are going to get bad and worse. Yes. You probably are facing situations right now that you cannot even explain. But you know what? God is with you. Talk to him. Pray to him. He is here for us. And today I need to say that now, sometimes I need to say to my son, "Please, son, quiet, man. Can you just take a break? Lord, what's going on?" And I just can see in my mind the Lord laughing at me. "Well, you pray." There's your answer. He's talking to you now. So enjoy. And guess what? That's what I'm doing. I enjoy my son, I enjoy my family, and I enjoy talking to God because I know that he is real. Amen. And he's a dear for me. He can definitely do it for you. Yes. Just hold on and have faith. See, the church was praying for Peter. He was in a dead end situation. Everything went dark. He was in jail. But the Bible said that the angel of the Lord came. Praise the Lord, everyone. Have you ever felt the presence of God in your life? In your mind, in your heart? that you know that God is there with you. Well, the church was praying. The angel of God was working. We want to see God's moving. We want to see God moving and doing great things for us, for our church. We need to pray. And here's the funny part. After they're done praying, the Bible said that Peter went back where they were praying. And he was at the door. Hello, brothers and sisters, it's me, Peter. I'm here. I'm here. So the young girl went up to the door. She heard Peter. It sounds like Peter. No, hold on. It is Peter. But Peter was at the door still knocking. Hello, can you let me in, please? I'm here. So instead of opening the door, she went back. Yo, listen, everyone. It's Peter outside. Peter's here. People were like, what's going on? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Peter's in jail. Listen, this is the same people that were praying for Peter to get out of jail. What's going on here? See, sometimes we pray for things that we don't expect. And we pray just like, well, let's just pray. You know, there's a need. Well, let's just pray. When we pray just because, you know, we pray. But sometimes we need to pray believing that something's going to happen. Amen. When God's people pray, I tell you this morning, something's happened. Great things happen when God's people pray. So Peter was there at the door. And they finally opened their door. Peter got in. Everybody was happy and jumping around. There's a story who said that in this village was really in a long season without rain. And they're gathered together one time. They said, well, I think it's a good time for us to do something about it. We need to pray for rain. Let's pray for rain. The elders of the village came together. Everybody came. Everybody was ready. So there was a young girl who came to a prayer meeting with the umbrella. Remember, there was no rain for a really, 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 really long, long time. And when the elders saw the little girl with the umbrella, they were like, what are you doing? What's the umbrella for? And she was like, well, I thought we're going to have a prayer for rain. So I came ready. Because I believe that something happens when God's people pray. When you pray, you need to believe that something is going to happen. Maybe it doesn't happen when you want it to happen, but it will happen. So I praise the name of God today. Because I know that something happens when God's people pray. We need to pray through our problems until we see the Lord move with power. Something happens when God's people pray. Let's pray together and see what happens. God bless. Father, we are about to leave this place. We're going to ask you to stay with us. Keep watching over your children, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.